talk to you this morning. The title of my message is Living in a Lion's Den Without Being Eaten. Anybody ever feel like you was in a lion's den and you needed protection? You didn't want nobody eating you up? Living in a lion's den without being eaten. I heard a story about a lady. She was driving her car and she stopped at a red light and her car died. And there's a lot of traffic, and she's trying frantically to get that car started, and there was a guy behind her, and apparently he didn't have very much patience. He starts honking the horn, honk, honk, honking. And so she was frantic at trying to get it started, couldn't get it started, so she just got out while that guy was honking his horn, walked back to his car, and he rolled down his window, and she said, "My car won't start. If you don't mind being a sweetheart and going up there and see if you could start my car, I'll stay back here and honk your horn." So here's the question. Are you a horn honker or are you a problem solver? There's a lot of horn honkers. Would you not agree? A lot of horn honkers in our world today. Honk, honk, honk. God's looking for somebody that's a problem solver. Say, "I'm a problem solver." God created you to solve problems. He gave you this between your ears so you could be a problem solver. We're not here just to live 80, 90 years and then just nothing happened. We're here for a reason. We're here for a purpose. That's why you came to church this morning, right? I mean, we have a reason for being here, and that's so that we can be faithful to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, the King of all kings, living in a lion's den. In Daniel chapter 6, it's a story. If you have your Bibles, you can turn to it, but I'm not going to read it. I'm just going to tell you about it because it's a little bit long story. But Daniel, you remember, he was one of the Hebrew children that had been taken out of the land of Israel because Babylon took over Jerusalem, besieged Jerusalem. And now Daniel and Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they were in the king's court, and the king Darius, he was preparing them. They were preparing him to serve in the king's court. He taught them. They had to learn the Babylonian language, and they had. He said that they were intelligent boys. Some say they were between 11 and 13 years old when they got there, and they were preparing them. So Daniel found favor with God, and he found favor with the king, and the king began to promote him because of his wisdom that he had. And so Daniel goes up, and after a while, he becomes second in command over all of Babylonia. In other words, he's the lieutenant governor of Babylon. Second in charge. You know, when you're second in charge, that's like right under just one. Second in charge. But as you can imagine, the guys that was underneath him that have been there all their lives, here these guys from Jerusalem come in, and the king find favor with the king, and all of a sudden he's over everybody else that feels like they ought to be where he's at. So they get jealous of him, and they're like, "We're going to try to trap him in what he does." And they try to figure out a way that they could trap Daniel. And Daniel was the Bible says he was a godly man. Every day, three times a day, he would open up the window toward Jerusalem, pray for Jerusalem. By the way, we should also pray for Jerusalem. We should support God's chosen people. So he prayed for Jerusalem, and everybody knew that he was praying. He opened his window, and it was a habit that he made. And so they decided if they were going to trap Daniel into something, it wasn't going to be anything in his life that he was doing wrong except serving God. So if they were going to trap him, they'd have to trap him in his love for God. What a man of integrity, would you not agree? So they told the king, We want to make a decree that everybody in the kingdom will make this image of you. They appeal to the king's ego. Did you know whenever you have an ego, that what E-G-O stands for is easing God out? Y'all ain't buying what I'm selling. So they appeal to the king's ego and they said, we will all worship you. We're going to make this image. And anybody that doesn't worship you, we're going to throw them into the lion's den. And the king goes, man, that's so cool. Let's do that. Yeah. Look at me. So they made this decree. And so the next thing they know, Daniel, he didn't faze him. He went to pray and then they turned him in. And the king was sad about it because he loved Daniel, but it was a law of the Medes and the Persians. They had to throw him in the lion's den. And the king, the Bible says, the king didn't eat or drink at all that night. He was sad and he didn't have any entertainment, didn't watch TV or nothing, and do nothing. And so the next morning he wakes up and he says, he goes over there and there's a signet over the stone and he removes it. And he says, oh, Daniel, was the God that you serve able to deliver you from the mouths of the lion? And Daniel said, oh, king, live forever. I have done nothing in God's sight, nor have I done anything in your sight. And God has spared me from these cats. And I had a good night's sleep. It didn't say that, but I'm going to say he slept better than the king did. So the king, he got ticked off at all the guys that turned Daniel in. He threw them in the lion's den, and that took care of that. One of the things that Daniel did, my first point is that that Daniel worked hard and he trusted God. One of the things my dad said, he said, this world don't owe you a living, boy. Something about being faithful in doing what you say you'll do. Something about trusting in God. There's an old Middle Eastern saying that says, trust in God and tie your camel tight. A lot of times what we do, we think if we trust in God that we don't have to do anything. But that's not what Daniel was faithful in what he did. He was loyal to the king, but he was more loyal to God. He was a hardworking man, and God elevated him because of his faithfulness. There's a lot to be said for faithful people. God's looking for faith. By the way, it said without faith, it's impossible to please God. And the derivative of faith is faithfulness. So when you're faithful, you're full of... It's kind of hard to comprehend. But faithful, full of faith. They couldn't find any corruption in Daniel. He was trustworthy. He wasn't corrupt. He wasn't negligent. Finally, they said, we'll never find anything for these charges unless it has something to do with the law of his God. One sure way to discredit ourselves as Christians, is to do mediocre work. Show up for work late. Don't give a good day's work for a good day's wages. Not only will it not be a good witness, you'll lose your job. A guy named Tony Evans, he's a preacher. He said years ago when he was in seminary that he worked in a Greyhound bus station. He said at nighttime, and he would load the buses that night. He said a lot of the other guys that was working there, they would play video games and they'd sleep, but he worked hard to and load the bus. And what they didn't know was that there was a window up there where they was watching everybody working or not working, and these guys got fired because they wouldn't work. And they elevated Tony Evans and gave him a raise and gave him more responsibility because they trusted him. There's something to be said for being trustworthy, and it's what you do when the boss isn't looking. Yeah. And it's what we do when nobody else is around, because there is a window and somebody's watching through that window. You can't see him, but he's there looking. Yeah. Amen. A lot of times character happens when no one's around. What Daniel did, when you do right things, you have nothing to fear, and even though no one else sees, God sees, and he'll reward you. In Daniel 6:3, it says, then Daniel began distinguishing himself among the commissioners and the satraps because he possessed an extraordinary spirit. He possessed an extraordinary spirit. In other words, the spirit that God put on him was extraordinary. In other words, when we're faithful to God, God will take your ordinary and he'll put extra on your ordinary. And when he puts extra on you, then you excel in whatever kingdom you live in because you are a faithful individual. That's what happened to Daniel. Daniel wasn't surprised by opposition. Daniel knew the opposition would come. We will not find any ground of accusation against Daniel unless we find it against him with regards to the law of his God. There's a lot of character for that. I mean, if people was looking at you and they say, man, we can't find nothing wrong with them. So we have to just look and see if they're going to follow Jesus. And we've got to get them for that. Don't be surprised when opposition arises. Lions don't just live in dens. They live in office buildings, neighborhoods, streets of our city, and sometimes they even wind up at church. John 15:20, remember what I told you. This is Jesus talking. A servant is no greater than his master. If they persecuted you, if they persecuted me, they will persecute you also. The Lord said, woe unto you if all men speak well of you. In other words, if you try to please everybody. Offenses must come, but woe to him through whom offenses come. So we shouldn't be surprised about opposition. Did you know it's easy, real easy to be critical? Man, it seems like it's a lot easier to whine about something than it is to bless somebody for something. It's easier to complain about something. It's like this lady, she went into this Chinese restaurant. And the waiter put the chopsticks out. And the lady kind of indignantly, she says, I'm an environmentalist. And she reached in and got her own. I don't want to destroy the bamboo forest. And so I bring my own chopsticks. And the waiter, everybody thought, oh, that's so cool. And the waiter looked down and says, ivory chopsticks, huh? Don't take much size to criticize. Anybody can criticize. Find me somebody who will lift one another up, someone who will edify. Even when sometimes you have to find and look for something in someone to build them up. But if you will believe in somebody the way that God believes in them, pretty soon they'll begin to believe in themselves the way God believes in them. You can be who God made you to be, but somebody has to believe in you. First of all, you got to believe in yourself. You got to believe in God in you because God created you. He knows you better than you know yourself. And that was the reason Daniel went to prayer every day, three times a day, because he knew he needed God's wisdom. And when he asked for God's wisdom, amazing things happened in his life. Ivory chopsticks. I like that. What did his enemies find out when they looked for Daniel's problems? When they turned loose of all the auditors for the palace and the investigation teams on him, when they checked the document shredders and the travel expenses and all his activities and the meal tickets, Daniel hadn't misused any of the palace post office funds, hadn't written any hot checks, hadn't sexually harassed any males or females or gotten involved in the Euphrates River development scandal. They could find no bribes and no cover-ups, no scandals for Daniel. They found him to be faithful because there was no corruption. He was diligent in what he did and there was no negligence. So the point is that Daniel honored God. At the end of the day, it was the Daniel chose to honor God above anything and everything, above anyone and everyone. Daniel honored God. It says in verse 10, it says that Daniel learned that the decree had been published, he went home to his upstairs room where the windows opened toward Jerusalem. Three times a day he got down on his knees and prayed, giving thanks to God just as he had done before. In other words, after the accusations came, he still did it. Did Daniel think these things were out of control? Apparently not. Does your situation sometimes feel like it's out of control? It's not. Well, unless you're out of control. Did you know that God won't change your situation as long as you're unwilling to allow him to change your situation? That God won't take. I hear people all the time, they say, well, God's in control. He's not in control unless you let him be in control. He's not going to make you do the right thing. And sometimes there's consequences to go along with doing the wrong thing. And that's what happened to these guys that did the wrong thing. They wound up in the lion's den. Chomp, chomp. God is only in control of your life if you give him control. If we talk to God half as much as we talk to others, we would get a much more godly response to our problem. Too many times we want to go to everybody else and talk to everybody else about our problems, and we'll spend 2 seconds in prayer, God help me, and then move on. Listen, if you'll spend time with God and prioritize that, God will prioritize you, and you will hear from God because his word is living and powerful in your life. The power of prayer is just amazing. He had a habit of prayer. Listen, by this time he was about 80 years old, yet he didn't feel he'd already prayed long enough. And y'all think, I pray. Sometimes you need to stay there. He wasn't too great in the kingdom to bow. Daniel didn't change his routine at all. In other words, whenever the decree came, he didn't go back in the back bedroom where no one could see him to pray. He didn't hold off a month and go, well, I've already prayed a lot. I think I'm going to just let this one blow over. No. His time was the same. The attitude was the same. He opened the window as always. He took no precautions. Daniel knew that God was in charge of control, and he gave God control, and he knew God would handle the schemes of his enemies. So what about compromise? He could have compromised. He could have not prayed. But the reason we have our Bibles of faith, the reason we have our Bibles and faith today is because men who went before us were unwilling to compromise. And because we have the freedom to serve and worship today is because people weren't willing to compromise their freedom so that we could have the freedom to serve. There's a preacher in the 1600s. His name was John Bunyan. He was brought before the magistrates, and they told him he must not preach. He said, but I will preach. He said, I will preach tomorrow by the help of God. But you will be put in prison, they said. He said, I'll preach as soon as I get out of prison. But you'll be hanged or else prison all your life. He said, if I lie in prison till the moss grows upon my eyelids, I can say nothing more than this, that with God's help, I will preach whenever I get a chance. There's a man with resolve. There's somebody that just made up his mind, this is the way I'm going to be. Now, let me say this. Everybody say, I'm a preacher. Let's all say, I'm a preacher. Some of you are, I ain't saying that. You're the only one that can reach your world for the cause of Christ. You're the only one that can, and I do like that. I think it was Francis Assisi's or something like that. He said, we should always preach, but use words when necessary. Our lifestyle will always speak louder than our words. Amen. So let's always remember that. Some say that Daniel's too strict and he could have compromised and still pleased God. I strongly disagree. 2 Chronicles 16:9, we said this last week, you remember, says, for the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show himself strong on behalf of those whose heart is loyal to him. He's looking for somebody whose heart will be loyal to him. When our heart is loyal to him, you won't always do everything right, but your heart will always follow him. Amen. Guard your heart with all diligence, because out of the abundance of the heart flows issues of life. Compromising with sin today seems to be the order of the day. Many today are confused and are unable to separate the person from their sin. There is a lot of hot buttons. Would you not agree there's a lot of hot buttons in our culture today, in our society? And it's not popular to push a hot button. But I'm fixing to. God's ordained that we, his people, stand for the truth of God's word. That we stand, just as Daniel stood, for the truth of God's word. However, he has always said that we need to stand in love. I know a lot of Christians, and they're saying the word of God, but they're mad about it. And they got their picket signs up, screaming everything. Like, you need to go to the house and pray through. You need to get down there on your knees and go like, God, I got a rotten attitude. While we should always love the person that is in sin, we should never blur the line by loving or accepting the sin in the person. For example, we've been hard-pressed to accept sexual sin in the world today. And even in the church, some think their situation is different when it comes to R-rated movies or living together or getting drunk or causing the weaker brother to stumble. We must love homosexuals, but not homosexuality. We must love people who have abortions, but not love abortions. Help them find healing in Christ. Let me tell you something. God loved you when you were in sin, and he's called us to love other people when they're in sin. And last time I checked, I had to ask God for forgiveness for my sin, and I think it's a good idea for all of us to do that and huddle up at the foot of the cross, because none of us are without sin. Amen. We just got our little pet sins. We're like, I think God's good with that one. What are you talking about? Well, my situation is different. Really? Revelation 3:16 says it this way. He said, I know your works, that you are neither hot nor cold. So then, because you're lukewarm and neither hot or cold, I will vomit you out of my mouth. God is not into mediocre Christianity. He's not looking for mealy-mouthed, mild-mannered men that meekly meet and methodically minister. Looking for mountain movie men that masterfully mends the messed up minds of mankind. That's who God's looking for. Yeah. Because Daniel honored God. Listen to this. God honored Daniel. If you honor God, please listen to me. If you honor God, God will honor you. If you dishonor God, you sow a seed of dishonor. Do you know what you'll reap? A seed of dishonor. You sow seeds of honor, you'll reap seeds of honor. Well, I can't understand why the world's always against me. Nobody loves me. I'm going to go eat worms. Really? Verse 21, then Daniel said to the king, O king, live forever. My God has sent his angels to shut the lions' mouths so that they have not hurt me, because I was found innocent before him. Also, O king, I have done no wrong before you. Now the king was exceedingly glad for him, commanded that they should take Daniel up out of the den. So Daniel was taken out of the den, no injury whatever was found him, because he believed in his God. And the whole kingdom, the Bible says, that the king raised up Daniel, and they proclaimed God to be God in the kingdom, because one man in the kingdom stood up. Can you imagine what might happen in your world if you stand up like Daniel stood up? Hebrews 11:33, it says, who through faith, everybody say through faith. subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousness, obtained promises, and stopped the mouths of lions. A few years ago here in Texas, there was a pilot that he left an airplane running on the runway, and somehow the motor engaged, and without the pilot, the plane took off all by itself. True story. The airplane stayed in the air flying around for about 90 minutes. Then the inevitable happened. You know what happened. Ran out of gas and crashed. This is proof that it's possible to take off without a pilot. It's even possible to get religious. It's even possible to fly around for a little while without a pilot. But no matter how far we get or how high we fly, our life is pointless if we don't have a pilot. We will crash. I wasn't sure if I should do this or not, but I think I'm going to. There's been a lot of controversial things this past week about some of the NFL players kneeling down in protest before the game during the national anthem. And I even read a couple of deals on Facebook. Everybody just ranting over this, and I'm sure some of y'all rant a little bit. And this, so I'm going to read to you my rant. One of the things I think is important is that we don't ever stop loving people like God loves people. And if we're not careful, we'll get caught up in the things of our world to the point where we forget the main thing. The main thing is that Jesus cares for us and he loves us. And the last time I checked, he said, love never fails. The same freedom that allows NFL players to kneel in protest is the freedom that allows us to kneel in prayer. Agree or not with the protest, it's okay. We've been granted the freedom to agree or disagree. The freedom to disagree is a direct result of the sacrifice of those who willingly chose to lay down their lives for that freedom. The very freedom that these in protest are looking for is found in the very flag that they dishonor. True freedom comes from Christ and his truth, the Bible. We have the freedom to support the NFL or not. Doesn't matter. We can bless whomever we choose to bless, cast our vote for whomever we choose to vote for. We've reached an age of compromise where we have blurred the line of morality to the point where many so-called Christians hate immoral people, and that in and of itself is immoral. When Christians hate immoral people, that's immorality. You say amen or oh me, I don't care. Fasten your seatbelt, it's getting better. Racist behavior is immoral whether a private citizen or an officer of the law. Racism is hate. And we're not called to hate, we're called to love. And it doesn't matter who's doing the hating, it's still wrong. I'd like for the church to say amen to that one. I say hate immorality, love immoral people. Jesus loved us when we dishonored him. We should love others when they are dishonoring. People are God's greatest treasure. Love has no boundaries. Love never fails. That's Jesus 101. Love never fails. Listen. I don't care what side you're on. As for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord.
Amen. Hallelujah.
In God's side. I had a A few years back, there was a young man came on a Monday night, and he prayed at the altar for quite a while, and big old boy, and he was kicking the ground like this. He said, "Pastor," he said, "it's hard. It's just hard." Imagine Daniel knew about that, don't you think? He said, "It's hard." He's kicking the ground. It's in the middle of August. And I asked him, I said, "Have you been outside lately?" He said, "Yeah." I said, "It's hot, isn't it?" He said, "Yeah, it's real hot." I said, "Hell's hotter than that." "Yeah, yeah, it's hard, but it's worth it." At some point in time, we have to figure out, is it worth it or is it not worth it? Are we going to go along with Christ, or are we just going to go along to get along with the world? At some point in time, there has to be something inside of us that says, "I am not going to float on downstream with the rest of the world. I'm going to have to go against the current of this world." That's what Daniel did. He stood up for what he knew was right. Live, die, sink, or swim. We got to serve the Lord. It may be hard. It may be difficult. But one of these days, God is going to come back. And we're going to all get to go to heaven. And all this stuff that's going on down here, all this sin stuff that messes up you up, messes me up, it'll be done away with. Eye has not seen, ear has not heard, neither has it entered in the heart of man the things that God has prepared for those who love him. All you have to do is love God and love people. But that's the biggest challenge you'll ever have in your life, because not some people just aren't lovable. But we gotta love them anyway. Amen. Pray. Thank you, Lord, for your word. Thank you for loving us. Thank you, Lord, for the challenge that you put out before us today to stand up for what's right, to not go along with the current of this world, but to understand the value of having the peace that comes from knowing you as our personal Savior. Thank you, Jesus. I'd like for you to keep your heads bowed and your eyes closed for just a second. This morning, if you've never invited Christ to come into your heart, the Bible says that we've all sinned. Like everybody in this building, we've all sinned, including me, all the pastors, we've all sinned, come short of the glory of God. But he said, if we confess our sin, he would be faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. In other words, he expects us at some point in time to humble ourselves before God and say, "God, I need you as my personal Savior." And he said, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone open, I'll come in and I'll be with him." So this morning, if you've never invited him into your heart, or maybe if you have and you just haven't been living for him, simply by raising your hand, say, "Preacher, I need Jesus in my heart. I need him in my life. I need to make him the Lord of my life." Slip your hand up high. We want to put a Bible in it. Anybody, "Preacher, that's me. I need Jesus in my heart." Slip your hand up high. Anybody. Anybody. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Anybody. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Would you stand with me, please? Got our prayer team up here. If you need special prayer, love to have you. It's a good challenge this morning, wasn't it? It's like, stand for something. So I got a question for you. How many say, "Preacher, there's some things in my life that I have compromised. And I don't like it. I don't want it. I want to be faithful to God. I need God's help. And this has challenged me to put away those things that separate me from God. And I need help with that." Raise your hand, everybody. Yeah. Thank you. Yeah, it's unanimous. I appreciate it. I want to pray for you. Everybody, raise your hand. Raise your other hand like they do in the cowboy movies. We're going to surrender all. Lord, we thank you, Jesus, for loving us. Thank you, Lord, for your blessings this morning, oh God, as we've been challenged by your word. We're challenged by Daniel that stood up in a hard generation. I pray, Lord, that you'd help each and every one of us to be faithful to you in this generation that we live in. Lord, help us not to compromise our walk with you, Lord, but to prioritize our walk with you. Thank you, Lord, for the privilege we have of being able to speak to you in prayer as we walk through our week. I pray that you just help us, Lord, to put away the old habits, Lord, that are unhealthy for us, that separate us from you, oh God, and help us to put on the armor of God. Lord, help us, Lord, to have peace, joy, long-suffering, gentleness, meekness, temperance, the things that you value, oh God. I thank you for your grace. I thank you for your mercy, Lord. Help us, Lord, to be faithful to you, oh God, in everything that you've called us to. And we praise in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Amen. We love y'all. God bless you. Have a great week.